The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Go? Okay. Welcome, folks. As always, we are just after WWE Payback as it is raining here in Chicago. Welcome in to Wrestling Unwrapped Reacts. In this case, it is Wrestling Unwrapped Reacts to WWE Payback. I'm your host, Patrick Ketza, and joining me, as always, Mr. Harry Braunhurst.
We're off to a banner start, Ketza.
I'm hurting. Leave me alone.
Well, then let's get to it. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and take the lead here at the start of the show for the simple fact that you did not get to watch the pre-show due to your prior commitments. Your pre-show contest sees Enzo and Cass defeat the club of Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson at 6 minutes and 45 seconds, times approximated thanks to Larry Zonka at 411 Mania, in a match that Larry gave 2 stars. Honestly, not much to this match. A little surprised by the ending, if only because of the fact that Enzo and Cass go over, especially with what happens in the tag team title match a little bit later on.
I mean, yeah, unfortunately, as you mentioned, prior commitments, I was not able to watch this one. But considering what would happen with the tag match, yeah, I find it very interesting. So, I mean, that kind of, it's weird how Enzo and Cass can seemingly only win on the pre-show, and in this case, be the wrong team. Huh?
When he was first starting his career, you know who else had that problem?
Ryback?
Rey Mysterio. For the longest
only
time,
on WCW Pro.
No, only winning on WWE pre-shows, but never winning at pay-per-views. I think his first pay-per-view win wasn't until, like, freaking, I don't know, I want to say, like, SummerSlam 03.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Your other pre-show segment sees Finn Balor as a guest on Miz TV. All right, so I get the purpose of this segment here in order to set up something with Finn and Miz down the road, but aren't we already teasing Miz feuding with Ambrose over the IC title? I mean, I get that Miz and Balor could be the IC title SummerSlam match, but at the same time, shouldn't you focus on one IC title feud before trying to segue it into a second? And let's be honest here, Balor's return to the company hasn't exactly been the hottest thus far, although I will give him credit. He did significantly better on the microphone here than he has in previous appearances.
I find it weird. Has he, I mean, with him being, you know, the big returning hero, wouldn't you want to give him, like, an actual match on the pay-per-view? People want to see him. But for some reason, nothing. They give him nothing on his first pay-per-view back. So, you know, I find that kind of weird. And, yeah, we still have to get through WWE Extreme Rules and then WWE Great Balls of Fire.
We're not going to make fun of that yet.
Keyword, yet.
Exactly.
I wonder if the first pay-per-view after SummerSlam is going to be WWE Don't Be Cruel.
Actually, WWE Nothing But a Hound Dog.
Oh, okay.
Which, by the way, if you haven't had the chance, there is a post on Heelbook on Facebook right now that is hilarious with just that theme. I'll leave it to yourself to view. It's worth the look. All right.
It may or may not already be posted on a certain other show's page that I already do.
Yeah, well, you can go Broadway on your own time. It's time to talk about a pay-per-view.
I'd rather go Broadway than talk about parts of this pay-per-view. But, in
all right, well, before we officially start the pay-per-view, though, tonight's episode of WU Reacts is a presentation of the W2M Network. You can find us online, www.w2mnet.com. Articles by all of your favorites, Sean, Paul, Gary, Patrick, myself, Angel, Tom. Pretty much, you think of them, they've probably written an article for W2M if they've appeared on the W2M airwaves. The written reviews will be coming back. I will take mea culpa for Friday. We were supposed to work on a review. My schedule changed. I ended up going out. But the written reviews for Wrestling the Rack will return soon. In addition, do you want to do the plug for the Torchest, or do you want me to take care of this one as well?
Go ahead, take care of it.
All right. Tonight's episode is sponsored by the Madhouse Torchest. stores.ebay.com/Madhouse Torchest. If you are a fan of anything wrestling, DVDs, action figures, VHS tapes, posters, magazines, and more, you can find it inside of the Madhouse Torchest. For you, I mean, I don't know why a non-wrestling fan would be listening to a wrestling podcast, but if you have outside interests other than wrestling, DVDs, Blu-rays, HD, DVD, yes, that was a thing, you can find those inside of the Toy Chest as well. That is stores.ebay.com/Madhouse Toy Chest. Mention that you heard this advertisement here on Wrestling Unwrapped and received a free gift with your purchase. Patrick, let's get to it, shall we?
Well, real quick, you do realize that somebody can have other interests besides wrestling.
I know. I said I don't know why somebody who isn't interested in wrestling would be listening to us, but if you have interests outside of wrestling, such as DVDs, yada, yada, yada.
I have an interest in the Olympics, and yes, let's indeed get to it.
Oh, well, I actually can think of the perfect thing for you inside of the Toy Chest. There's a couple
later,
of the old...
Later.
Mario and Sonic at the Winter Olympics.
I prefer good things about the Olympics. Anyway, speaking of good things, let's get to the opener.
All right, hold on. My tablet closed. All right, I got it. U.S. title match. Chris Jericho defeats champion Kevin Owens via submission. What? At 14:10 to become the new champion.
And?
Jericho moves to SmackDown as a result of the victory to face AJ Styles this Tuesday night.
And? Well, technically that's booked for the pay-per-view. I may get Chris Jericho and AJ Styles in Chicago.
No, that match is happening on SmackDown, sir.
That's that baby.
You're not.
Give
Jericho
me that.
Jericho's leaving the tour with Fozzy, brah.
Shut up. Give me this. Anyway.
All right.
You might to the man.
Styles. You might get Styles and Owens for the U.S. title at Payback or at Backlash. That might be better.
I know. I kept mixing them up, too. I kept calling tonight's pay-per-view Backlash.
Nope. Tonight is Payback. Next week, the one in Chicago on the 21st is Backlash.
I know. Anyway, in terms of the match itself, once I was able to watch it, I missed this one originally. Chris Jericho wins via the Walls of Jericho. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, did it suddenly revert back to 2009 and nobody tell me? Don't get me wrong. I love me some Jericho. Longtime listeners to this show are very well aware of that fact. But what the hell?
Well, wasn't 09 Jericho winning via the Codebreaker?
He was also winning via the Walls of Jericho. He beat Jeff Hardy for the Intercontinental title with the Walls of Jericho, sir.
Man, and people say, I'm a nerd. Anyway.
Favorite wrestler.
I know. Good match. Kevin Owens may want to rethink the idea of putting his picture on the walkway part of the ramp, though. was not the most flattering version.
Well, if you believe the story about Vince being not the most happiest with Kevin Owens' look right now, it honestly doesn't surprise me that they picked kind of a crap picture for him on there.
Oh, no, they didn't pick a crap picture. The picture looked good on the Titantron. It was the angle that they used to feature the picture on the walkway. Be that as it may, the match itself I thought was very good, maybe a little slower than Kevin's used to, but as we mentioned, you know, Jericho's getting up there. Still a very, very good match. I did like the kind of surprise idea that Jericho wins. You know, kind of throws everything off, and it's just like, you're putting off, the one thing I don't like is that you're putting off him leaving the company by one night.
Well, I think it'll be done to get more heat back on Owens with a post-match attack. And I said as much in the W2M chat, wrestling threat chat, thing on Facebook as well, that I feel like a post-match Owens-Jericho beatdown is going to happen after Jericho drops the U.S. title to Styles on SmackDown Live this Tuesday. I can sum this match up in four words. You ready? Good match, better psychology. I love the fact that they played off the WrestleMania match with the finger on the rope and then Jericho going after the finger and then Owens selling the hand while reaching for the ropes to lead to the tap out.
I mean, yeah, this was definitely a little more slow going. The match almost started exactly like the match where Owens, actually I kind of find that funny, is that both matches kind of start, both title matches where Kevin Owens goes in as the champion start the same way and kind of end the same way. One of them just took a little longer to get there, but this was a good match. The crowd was hot for this one. Definitely on the side of Y2J. And, yeah, the psychology of everything kind of just took what they did at WrestleMania and made it better, which is an uncanny ability that Chris Jericho has. Take something that you have from a previous match and expand and improve on it. He's been doing that quite a bit lately, and it happens even here tonight. So I'm very happy with the match. And how can you really be mad about Chris Jericho winning his, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, his 26th championship in the WWE?
His tights say goat for a reason.
Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer whenever he does finally retire?
I think that's the more important question here, because if he retires, I don't think there's a question that he is. Not to mention, not only is he a first ballot, he's also a headliner, too.
No, he's not. Not if they do it in the next 2 years.
He's a headliner when he goes in. But plain and simple, he will be a headliner.
If he retires tomorrow, he's not a headliner next year.
You assume that he's done. He's just gone on tour with his band again.
I said if he were to retire tomorrow, he would not be a headliner going into New Orleans.
Well, no, probably because Taker's headlining New Orleans.
Exactly. So,
anyways, when Jericho goes in, not if, but when Jericho goes in, he goes in as the headliner.
Of course it's when.
Well, yeah. Your next contest sees Austin Aries defeat WWE Cruiserweight Champion Neville. Apparently he lost his Adrian somewhere coming up to from NXT. By disqualification. Wait, what now?
He's now called Neville King.
By disqualification at 11 minutes and 30 seconds, Neville retains the Cruiserweight title. Good match, crap finish.
I feel like we're going to be saying that a lot tonight.
I actually really like some of the finishes tonight, so we'll talk more about those later. But no, I originally had this match at 3.5. I docked it to 3 after the disqualification finish. I think that the disqualification finish is overplayed, and I think that there are better ways for a heel to retain his title than intentionally getting himself disqualified, especially when the ropes were right there behind him.
Nope, can't reach him, can't. I've already dragged him 8 inches. I can't drag him these last 2 inches. So I'm going to grab the referee.
Guarantee it took more energy to grab that referee and chuck him. I mean, granted, not the largest referee in the world, but it took more energy to chuck that referee than it would have to grab the ropes.
Probably. I mean, a goofy finish in Orlando at Mania, a goofy finish here. So, Austin Aries is not going to be the next Cruiserweight champion. It's going to be somebody totally different because they'll probably do one more, and Neville King will end up winning that one. May even be this Tuesday night. Who the hell knows? But
would you like my prediction for who the next Cruiserweight champion is going to be? I'm going to stand by the same prediction I've made before on these podcasts.
Mustafa Ali.
Akira Tozawa.
He has to get past all his stuff with Brian Kendrick first.
Back to the match. So these two have really good chemistry, and it's something that we've kind of noticed from day one with their matches. The matches are always good. It's just there's something missing, and traditionally it comes down to the finishes. You mentioned the fact that there was an oddity of a finish at WrestleMania. I disagree. I like the finish at WrestleMania with Neville feeling the need to pull out Red Arrow for the victory. Tonight's finish left a sour taste in my mouth, though.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, it's just the match itself wasn't bad. It was just, it was all building up and leading up to...
Well, are you familiar with the old phrase, in like a lion, out like a lamb?
Of course.
That's pretty much the cliche version of describing this match. In like a lion, because the first 10 minutes and 45 seconds were fantastic. The last 45 seconds, well, not so much.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it really any better. It was a good match marred by a goofy finish.
All right, hold on. Pulling up the tablet again. Give me 1 second. All right. Well,
speaking of a good match marred by a goofy finish.
Oh, completely disagree. Love the finish on this match. Raw Tag Team Champions.
I'm kidding.
You better be. Raw Tag Team Champions. Can I read the damn result, please?
Yes.
Raw Tag Team Champions Matt and Jeff Hardy retained the belts, defeating Cesaro, although apparently on the pre-show it was Cesaro. You watch the pre-show, you'll understand what I mean. At 12 minutes and 50 seconds, when Jeff pinned Sheamus with a Swanton Bomb. Post-match, well, let's just say the Hardys get the broken beaten into them.
I feel bad for Matt.
I felt worse for Jeff. It looked like he got a tooth knocked out.
He did. They talked about that on Raw Talk.
Yeah, but they didn't actually show the close-up. I want to see, like, a close-up and see if you can actually see, like, him if he loses a tooth.
Like, if it goes flying out, I don't know that I want to see that. No, I felt bad. Well, okay, yeah, I felt bad for Jeff finding out he lost a tooth, and you can see at times after that hoof in the mouth, especially, like, post-match, you can see that he's missing a tooth, and it's not even, like, crap. It's just... gone.
Well, the good news is that'll make it easier to replace. Carry on.
Yeah. Right. Focus on the good things. It's easier to replace.
Absolutely.
My thing, I felt bad for Matt because he pretty much had to take the weight of his brother landing on the opponent on him. This was a great match, and I mean, if Cesaro can't pull magic out with you, I've heard this line saying about Arn Anderson, and I'll say it about Cesaro as well. If Cesaro can't pull magic out of you, there's something wrong here. This may have been one of the better straight-up tag team matches I've seen in a long time. Just a really good... hard-hitting, free-flowing match. You know, it never felt super slow and just felt like a great match all throughout. And then we mentioned, you know, he had the blind tag. Sheamus, for the life of me, I can't think of what Sheamus hits on Matt.
Tilt-a-World Slam.
Okay, the Tilt-a-World Slam that Sheamus hits on Matt. So Sheamus goes to pin Matt, not knowing that they had tagged, of course, and Jeff hits a Swanton. This is why I felt bad for Matt, because like I said, Jeff landed on Sheamus, and both of them went splat on Matt. So, you know, and Jeff picks up the win, and they were, you know, shaking hands and buddy-buddy, and then Cesaro attacks again and knocks the broken back into them.
Cesaro, first of all, and...
I know what I said.
They went from shaking hands to kissing babies to shaking babies real quick, didn't they?
Wow.
Yeah, send your hate mail to Harry Brockhurst in care of Wrestling to the Max. No, in all seriousness, though, there aren't a whole lot of good heel tag teams on Raw. The only other real heel tag team on Raw is the Club, Anderson and Gallows. And let's be entirely honest here. They have next to no credibility right now in regards to the eyes of the casual fan. This post-match...
In this case, you're right. There are no good heels. Hang on. So in this case, you're right, because there are no good heel tag teams.
This right here injects another dose of fresh blood into the Raw tag team scene, and in my opinion, refreshes the characters of Sheamus and Cesaro, because let's be honest, they're better as badass bullies anyway.
Do, do, do.
Sheamus and Cesaro.
Do, do, do. I'll miss that.
All right. Oh, they'll still chant it. Heels are over, as we evidenced by our main event, but we're getting to that. Speaking of over heels...
I was going to say, is he really a heel? He's a concrete hero right now.
Well, I mean, comparatively speaking, we start with our fourth title match in a row of the four title matches on this card, because of course we do. And this time, the curse is real, yet again, as Bayley loses the WWE Raw women's title in her hometown, pinned by Alexa Bliss with a snap DDT at 11 minutes and 25 seconds.
For those of you questioning what he just said, yes, snap DDT, because Bayley then took a header into the corner originally, like before, shortly before. And yes, yet again, another wrestler loses in their hometown. What is that women's title and changing hands in their hometown? Happened to Bayley, specifically the Raw women's title. Happened to Sasha, happened to Charlotte, happened to Bayley, and this is all in the last 7 months?
Alexa better hope to God they're not in Columbus anytime soon.
So, boy, is it fair to say that Bayley, well, for obvious reasons, but Bayley got the best reaction of the night?
Yeah, I would definitely say maybe outside of Chris Jericho.
No, fair enough, but that's also the opening of the show, so you can understand
right.
that.
Obviously, you're going to have a hot crowd for the start of the show, so, I mean, I can kind of understand why Jericho got the reaction that he did. But that being said, yeah, they were definitely on fire for Bayley tonight. Your thoughts on Alexa Bliss as the first ever double champion?
You know, I talked about this with somebody else.
Is his name Kevin?
No. Maybe. Yes. Because we asked, who was going to be the first double champion? Was it going to be Charlotte? Was it going to be Alexa? Or was it going to be Bray?
Bray?
Yeah, Bray. We kind of threw Bray out immediately. So we headed down to Charlotte and Alexa. I actually took Charlotte. I kind of forgot that this pay-per-view was in San Jose. But I actually, for some strange reason, took Charlotte. I think I did anyway. But I can't say I'm really surprised. It was funny, if you watched Raw Talk, apparently Alexa was expecting balloons and streamers for her big history-making event. It seems like
I was just going to say, she's going to get all that on Raw tomorrow, and it'll be interrupted by Sasha Banks, because of course it will.
Yeah, sure, why not? It seems like now, for every history-making event that Charlotte gets, Alexa now has to get her own. Charlotte was the first female to main event a Raw, a SmackDown, and a pay-per-view. Alexa becomes the first Raw and SmackDown women's champion. So, I mean, as far as the match itself... Not great, not terrible. I'm starting to realize more and more people are right when they say Alexa's not great in the ring. Not terrible, but not great.
Alexa, she can talk. You know who Alexa is right now? And this is a very bold statement to make, but I'm going to make it anyways. As of right now, Alexa is pretty much 2000 Trish Stratus.
Oh, you know what? Maybe a little more skilled, but yes. 2001 Trish Stratus.
I was going to say 2001 Trish Stratus, then. Yeah, she's not to the level that Trish would get to, but at the same time, she's definitely on her way, and I think working with people like FitFinley, like Adam Pearce, and like Jamie Noble, are the three Raw agents that we saw at the end of the show tonight after the beatdown commenced. I think working with them on a more consistent basis, I'm pretty sure Anderson's an agent for Raw as well, will do nothing but help Alexa.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely, she does not really need polish on the mic. She might be the best female talker in the company as of right now. So, you know, there's no doubt about that. But once she's able to hone her craft in the ring, there's probably not going to be anybody able to touch her. It's kind of, if you look at this match, you give me Bayley in the ring, you give me a wrestler who has Bayley skills in the ring and Alexa skills on the mic, you have almost the perfect wrestler.
Pretty sure that person's name is Madison Eagles.
In the WWE.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the WWE.
Again, I'm pretty sure as of the tournament, that person's name is Madison. Never mind.
No.
I hope
no. No. I can almost 100% confirm no.
You're probably hoping so for your own personal wish reasons, but that's beside the point. We'll move on.
She's already advertised for the July tapings. No.
So? It's not like they don't work in the... Not like the UK workers don't do
anyway.
Anything in booking. Yeah, we're getting way off track here. Let's continue on.
You caused this.
One last thing about Alexa real quick before we do move on, and mostly because I don't really want to talk about the next contest. Alexa's DDT finish, like, dislike, think she needs a better one?
I was okay with it given the circumstances. The circumstances. You know, if she were to break that out as a regular finish, I'd probably still be okay with it, but given the circumstances and the fact that, like I said, Bayley took the header, you know, into the corner shortly before, and it was just Alexa capitalizing on that, totally okay with it.
All right, so now we have to move on. Do you want to break this up into two parts, or do you just want to get this over and done with in one fell swoop?
Get this over with!
Bray Wyatt finally deletes Randy Orton. 16 minutes and 55 seconds.
How long?
Between the two segments of battling each other, 16:55, which I told you when the guys in the chat thread, it was about 20 minutes.
I know.
I forget who it was, but somebody had, I think it was Larry, actually. Larry had the thought on his review that I'm using here that the thing about Final Deletion that made itself so entertaining is the fact that it didn't take itself seriously. It was campy, it was quirky, it was dumb, it was irreverent. It was exactly what it needed to be for what they produced. I think the problem here is they took themselves too seriously, and as a result, it suffers in the long run. So the best thing to come out of this match is that they did the smart thing, and they gave Wyatt the win in order to build him on Raw, while at the same time pushing your SmackDown title match for Backlash between Randy Orton and, I can't believe I'm saying these words, number one contender, Jinder Mahal.
Jeter. Think about the statement you just said. Bray Wyatt beats WWE Champion Randy Orton in a House of Horrors match after Jinder Mahal interferes.
Somewhere, Heath Slater is crying to his kids that he's not getting a push.
God, what the hell is we... This one...
I don't know.
Okay, I know... Okay, I know they tried, kind of, to do this a long time ago with the Wyatt family and the New Day, with the New Day visiting the Wyatt compound. No. This... Tonight, the House of Horrors match, This was the WWE's attempt at doing the final deletion.
For the record, that Wyatt Compound visit by the New Day was actually very entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Yes, but be that as it may, a lot of people took that as WWE ripping off the final deletion. No, tonight was WWE ripping off the final deletion. And then what made it worse is the fact that this was two segments.
Is that why I got the pop I did for you when I said why it finally deletes Orton?
Absolutely!
I'll take that as a victory for tonight for the best line of the podcast. I mean, granted, we don't do that, but I'm pretty sure I got this one cinched. Yeah, there's not really a whole lot to say about this.
They fight through a house. Ray dumps a refrigerator on top of Randy Orton. He then takes a limo.
Fucking refrigerator? Are you serious, bro?
Okay, carry on.
You're not getting me on the Batista line. No.
I already did. A refrigerator? Are you serious, bro?
Man, I wish I could mute Harry for the "Are you serious, bro?" right now.
Yeah, you should be ashamed of yourself. You getting me on the other line earlier, that is officially rescinded. You are back to nothing.
I still got the best line of the night. And thanks for...
No, you don't anymore.
Thanks for our producer, Sean Garmer, chiming in. Nice to hear from you, Sean. We miss you on Sundays. Anyway, Patrick, carry on.
I don't want to. I don't want to talk about this. Okay, real quick. Bray Wyatt gets into the limo. How many people expected Randy Orton to be driving the limo? Or in the trunk or something?
I feel like it would have been funnier to have The Undertaker turn around and go, "Where to, Stephanie?" No? Okay.
Why couldn't he just say Bray? He did it with Teddy.
That's true. I forgot about that. The SmackDown Screwdrop. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Where to, Bray? The arena.
Well, we all know Taker's looking for a new career these days. I figure limo driver's as good as any.
My question is, how much did Randy Orton have to pay? Because there had to be a surcharge there for him to get to the SAP center.
Yeah, I'm almost certain that, like, Uber charges a premium in these hours.
Absolutely. Like, the charge was four times leaving Camping World Stadium in Orlando. I've got to figure it's got to be 2.5 times. So he has to pay through the nose.
And more importantly here, the question then becomes, where does Bray Wyatt keep a wallet?
Well, he stole Randy Orton's limo.
He did. That's true. So Orton's having to pay for the limo that Wyatt took. That's dastardly bastard.
Mind you, folks, this is getting us off topic on purpose because we don't want to talk about this stupid match. Eventually, so this match takes a pause. A la Hollywood Backlot Brawl at WrestleMania 12, minus the OJ footage. We go to our next contest.
Well, before we move on to
Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe, and then after that, Bray Wyatt arrives. You know, it's kind of funny that somehow Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe knew to end their match just before Bray Wyatt arrived.
All right, that was good. That was good.
Thank you. Anyway, so Bray comes back, and he's battered down and beaten.
I just point out the fact that when Bray was in that limo, he was super blown up?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt.
Like, usually Bray's in better shape than that. Clearly, fighting around the house takes it out of you.
He did dump a refrigerator.
This is true. Refrigerators ain't light. You ain't Maytag and special for anything less than 200 pounds.
I know. I had to help carry one up today.
All right, enough about your day. Let's get back to the contest, even though we don't want to. All right, so
the lights come back on because Bray does his full intro.
the lights come back on, and where the hell was Randy?
Maybe
this is the kind of thing of, this is the kind of thing that reeks of,
I believe the words you're looking for are wrestle crap.
Oh, they already, shout out to RD Reynolds and Blade Braxton. They already said, yeah, we're probably not even going to have a vote this year for the Gooker Award.
As I said,
Owen proceeds to beat the hell out of Bray until the Singh brothers interfere, and then Jeter interferes.
Wait. No longer the Bollywood boys. They are now officially Singh brothers.
Yeah, I got nothing.
As I said when I was describing this match when we did our quick introduction at the start there, the only good thing to come out of this is that they used it to set up Jinder and Randy for Backlash, which is what they needed
to
do.
It's a really good thing, though.
Well, given the fact that you're about to go to a pay-per-view that Jinder Mahal is going to make a probably fine. Jinder Mahal made eventer. Soak it in, Patrick.
Funny. I think I'm going to go to NXT TakeOver.
All right. We move on now. Technically, we move backwards now because, you know, reasons. And
because of the Hollywood backlash brawl.
I actually compared it to the graveyard match in WCW, but that mostly has to do with the fact that we've been focusing on 2000 WCW lately. Nobody else got that reference. Don't worry. You're not alone. Seth Rollins defeats Samoa Joe with a roll-up out of an attempt at the Coquina Clutch at 15 minutes and 55 seconds.
I got that reference, and I hate you.
So, we saw one heel turn tonight that I don't know that was necessarily needed, but appreciated, in Sheamus and Cesaro. How long until we see Seth Rollins turn as well? Because these fans could not care less about Seth as a babyface right now.
Although that was kind of how the crowd was reacting to this. What sucks is this match was good. And like they mentioned, only the second time that Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins, Tyler Black, have ever faced off against each other. I thought it was a really good match, so I think in this case, the problem is you have to, the crowd didn't care about it, but at the same time, look at the crap that surrounded it.
I would imagine that there's probably a level of truth to that. Do you think this match would have been better served as our opener?
Our opener or before the House of Horrors match, although the timing of that would, you know, mess things up. Or anywhere else but here. Or, if you want, have this match trade spots with the Raw Women's title match and not kick off your show with four consecutive title matches, and the crowd would most likely already be hot from Alexa winning in Bayley's hometown, that would probably transfer off.
By which you mean into the continuation of the House of Horrors. I would agree with that, actually. I mean,
yeah.
Granted, you're kind of putting the women back into the death slot by doing that, but at the same time, I can understand where you're coming from here because you're going to have a hot crowd for Bayley, so it's going to keep them from going stale before the main event.
Exactly, because the crowd's going to go... They would be able to get the stigma from what they had just witnessed, the pre-taped part of it, and would probably be a little hotter on Bailey's side, which they're already hot on Bailey's side, and would probably show a bit more passion, and I think Alexa winning would probably be better served going back into the second half of the House of Horrors match. So I do wish that. This match itself, though, Joe and Rollins, I thought it was actually a really good match. Kind of killed the Coquina Clutch a little bit with the fact that Rollins, A, found a way out of it first with the roll-up pin attempt, and then B, found a counter to it and ended up winning the match.
Disagree. And the reason I say I disagree is because Joe never got the Coquina clutch fully locked in. Technically, what he had was a rear-mounted choke. The Coquina clutch is when he drags you down to the mat with the body scissors.
Fair enough, but I mean...
That's how it was always described in TNA. When it was standing, it was just a rear-mounted choke or a rear-naked choke. Once he dragged you down to the canvas and had the legs wrapped around you, then it became the Coquina clutch because he had his legs around you like a pair of vice grips.
Something that actually made sense in TNA?
I know, right? Yeah, I'm as shocked as you. Well, in fairness, House of Horrors.
Last Rights match.
See, a one-way analysis that you only get here on Wrestling Unwrapped by Harry Broadhurst.
Thank you, Sean.
See, I would have never known the difference between the rear-mounted choke or the Coquina clutch until Harry just told me. So, you learn something new every day.
Being a play-by-play announcer has its benefits, Sean. What can I say?
Fair point.
Carry on.
Okay, one more quick thing about this Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe match. I disagree with you on the fact that he killed the Coquina clutch, because as I said, the Coquina clutch was never fully locked in. I think Seth winning was the right idea here, but I think it should have happened by disqualification rather than having the disqualification finish earlier in the show. Perhaps you have Joe lock in the Coquina clutch. You could have Seth get to the ropes and then have Joe refuse to break the hold for the disqualification, because the storyline that you were setting up going into this is that Joe was out for blood for Triple H and Stephanie. Rather than wrestling what seemed to be a relatively normal match, although I do appreciate them focusing on the knee, it seemed more like Joe should have been, I don't know, more aggressive than what he was. Truthfully, I don't think this match ever really got out of, like, first or second gear. These two are capable of much more against each other, I feel.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at the same time, you know, they may be saving it for the future. We don't know how much longer this is really going to go, because it was a pretty fluke win, so I think it warrants another match, as there's now thunder outside my house. Holy cow. You know, so I think this would warrant another match, but if this was just a taste of what they can do, I'm happy with it just being a taste. If this ends up being a blow-off, yeah, I kind of would have expected more from them then. But if it's the beginning of something, I'm happy with what we got.
Going to describe this the same way I described Aries and Neville. Good, but not great.
Yeah.
Capable of much more than what they gave us. All right, main event time, shall we?
Yeah.
Braun Strowman defeats Roman Reigns at 11 minutes and 45 seconds with a pinfall after a second running power slam. Roman loses LOL?
Why the hell did he beat Undertaker?
I think that they might be building this up to an ambulance match, and you can kind of see that coming based on what happened with, A, the ambulance backstage on Raw a couple weeks ago, and more specifically what happened on Raw Talk, which we're not going to go fully into Raw Talk because, you know, not our place. You can listen to Sean, Paul, and Gary tomorrow for the W2M version. I'm sure they'll break down Raw Talk on theirs. But the brawl aftermath of this match, Roman stumbling his way backstage, I'm trying to help Roman into an ambulance, and Braun saying, "I'm not done with you yet," in the most country voice possible, and then going through an ambulance door because, you know, reasons. It seems like this is the setup for an ambulance match, possibly at Extreme Rules.
Well, that would make the most sense to do it at Extreme Rules. Yeah, this is definitely not the finish between the two of them, but at the same time, if Roman wins the ambulance match, does that mean we're going to get a third, or does Fastlane count?
Technically speaking, Roman beat Braun at Fastlane, so Roman would win 2-1.
Okay, so Fastlane counts.
Well, the announcers were talking about it, and the fact that Strowman stayed aggressive because of the fact that Roman beat him back at Fastlane.
This is true. Wow, continuity showing up tonight. That's a complete shock.
I didn't know creative was capable of such things. They're surprising us all the time.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I was actually happy with unlike when Rusev beat John Cena in their match, what, a couple of years ago? In this case, Braun did it clean. I was happy to see that, holy cow, someone beat Roman clean, dominating, beat the piss out of him, and blood. Now, my question is, does that make the potential ambulance match in Extreme Rules, the one that we think would happen, does that make that a potential glorified number one contenders match?
You would almost have to think so going into Great Balls of Fire. I'm like, that's a pay-per-view name, son of a bitch.
Mind you, you're the one who just said, who knew creative was capable of such things as continuity? Well, this is the creative and what were they known to do? WWE! Great Balls of Fire!
Yeah, what I think happened is Vince got really, really drunk one night and happened to listen to some Jerry Lee Lewis and figured, you know what? This sounds like a great pay-per-view named Bruce. Forgetting the fact that Bruce doesn't work for the company anymore.
All right, all right. We've already mentioned enough other podcasts.
That's what we do. We got to get our stuff for here.
So what happens when Roman ends up winning?
When Roman ends up winning the ambulance match?
Yes.
That's a very good question, because the rumor is that Brock's not coming back until July.
We know. So, that's what the American Airlines Center, who posted the original promo for WWE, Great Balls of Fire, said, and it's in the video.
Well, the question then becomes is, do you postpone Brock and Roman from there, or do you actually give that match away at a B pay-per-view? And let's be honest here, with a name like Great Balls of Fire, this might be more like C-level pay-per-view.
That's what's making me think Braun's going to win at Extreme Rules.
What, Braun and Brock at Great Balls of Fire?
That would be the kind of match that you give to a B pay-per-view.
Can I just point out the fact that I actually would be interested in watching Braun and Brock?
Not to mention, let's see if they actually bring up the fact that there's still history there with Braun and Brock. Not much, but there is. Remember the Rumble a couple years ago? And going into that, it was Wyatt Family versus Brock, and then it gets dropped by the wayside very quickly.
All right, let's not give creative that much credit.
I know. That's why I was asking, would they even bring it up?
All right, moving on. Back to the match itself here. So, as I mentioned, I'm done doing that for the night. My throat's starting to hurt. Braun picks up the win after a second running power slam. Agree or disagree, right booking decision here tonight?
Agree.
I think so as well. I think in order to have these two continue their feud, you had to do something where Braun picks up a victory, and you had to have him pick up a clean victory, not a fluke one, in order to establish that he's at the same level as Roman Reigns, if not a little bit above him, given the fact that Roman came into this match taped up like Diamond Dallas Page.
Or Dean Ambrose.
Mine's funnier.
Point still stands.
Regardless, moving on. All right, the other thing I wanted to ask you about this, the post-match beatdown. So Angel and you and I kind of got into this conversation on the...
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to discuss it here because apparently it's something that came up. We got into the discussion about the use of blood capsules in regards to professional wrestling here. For or against?
For.
Likewise. I think it's dumb to have people blading at this point in wrestling, knowing what kind of infectious diseases are out there, knowing what the damage is that stuff like, what's the one that staff can cause?
Yeah.
Not to mention, Sean posted in the thread itself, and he can be the first one to tell you this, that he did. There's no reason for wrestlers to have foreheads like Abdullah the Butcher and Ric Flair anymore these days.
But also besides that, how else are you going to get the look of internal bleeding? That's what That's what Roman said. Roman was internally bleeding. How else are you going to get that look without a blood capsule? And still be able to drive home the point of, you know, Braun being this big badass machine that just beats the hell out of anything he touches? How are you going to do that? You can't. You need a blood capsule. So, you know, I know Angel brought up, oh, you know, it looks like paint or anything. Truth be told, I thought this one looked a hell of a lot better than when they did it last year with Triple H and Roman. I thought they did a lot better with it this time around.
We're not looking at it from
rose-colored glasses. We're looking at it, you know, with a bias to everything. And
that's the point that I raised. I'm going to cut you off here because that's the point that I raised when we were discussing the use of the capsules and stuff here. It's how many non-smart fans, and I hate using that term in regards to wrestling fans, but how many non-like IWC fans are going to recognize that they used a capsule? Most of them are going to just leave the arena thinking, Braun effed him up.
Exactly. You know, like I said, we look at it with a darker shade of gray.
I think to a traditional fan, though, to a non-IWC fan, to a non-internet-using fan, like somebody that's not constantly checking the dirt sheets and all that stuff there, to somebody like them, I don't think that they're going to be as apt to notice it as somebody like myself, yourself, or Angel would be. I understand the point that Angel was making. I'm not trying to make a mockery of Angel's thoughts here. I just want that stated for the record. I can understand where Angel was coming from. I just don't agree with him.
Yeah. So now the question, and I love the fact that they still continued the thing of Braun destroying everything, because in this case, took the door off an ambulance. Flip an ambulance, break a ring, dump a dumpster off of a stage, also make a wrestler disappear the day he flipped the ambulance, and now it's break the door off an ambulance.
Okay, to be fair, Kalisto fell like 12 inches. I'm sure he was fine.
I know, but he still made a wrestler disappear.
Anything else to discuss in regards to this show, or shall we go to the big finish?
Why did Braun have to look like an idiot on Raw Talk? Let's be honest. Braun looked like an idiot on Raw Talk.
You know, I sat here thinking that, too. I was questioning why they had Roman become the last one standing. Like, I think that it's done in order to help build towards the rematch that they're going to do with Extreme Rules, and specifically the use of the ambulance backstage there. But I think for tonight, you should have had at least left well enough alone with Braun laying Roman out.
Yeah. What they did on Raw Talk is the thing that's kind of suited for, like, 2 weeks from now. You know, something to where Roman looks like he's going to be taken away in an ambulance, but he's able to, or, you know, Braun goes to attack him again, but Roman's able to sidestep, and they continue brawling. You know, maybe in and around an ambulance. That's what that should have been. Why couldn't they have just left well enough alone tonight? And you know, to me, it ends up making Braun look stupid in the end, which I didn't like.
Can officially confirm Jeff Hardy did lose a front tooth during the match with Sheamus and Cesaro tonight.
That was confirmed on Raw Talk.
Well, there's video on 411 if you're interested.
Is it of the hoof to the mouth?
No, it's of the medical attention he receives after the show.
Oh, okay.
I'll send you the link.
All right.
With that being said, let's go big finish, shall we?
Indeed. So we're not going to do cash and trash just because we're both tired, and we've decided that it's probably not the best thing to do with a show like this that we're doing a live reaction to. However, it is still time for the best and the worst match of the show. Do we really even have to ask on one of them?
Yeah, absolutely. Worst match was me versus the television screen when that final House of Horrors match was on.
Because, yeah, without a doubt, the worst. And Yeah, I'm ignoring your line there anyway. You ripped off the final deletion and made it look even stupider.
The point of final deletion and Apocalyptico and the first one that they did, I forget what it's called, Total Deletion or something like that, whatever it was.
Total Non-Stop Deletion?
Yeah, no, that was the full episode. The first one, not the final deletion, the one before it.
It was the final deletion, was the first one.
I don't think it was. I think there was one at Bound for Glory last year, but that's beside the point. Moving on. The thought that I had there is that the thing that made that so successful was that it was done so campily. It was done so overtly tongue-in-cheek, whereas it genuinely looked like the WWE's producers for this match were trying to make it come off as like a B-grade level horror movie, and it ended up coming off like an F-grade level horror movie because F is for failure.
This is the kind of stuff that Mystery Science Theater 3000 would be above. And the fact that, okay, it would have been, well, okay, if I'm at the SAP Center, I'm already pissed off that I have to watch a match on a screen. But if it ended with them blowing up the damn house or something instead of just turning the lights red, okay. But instead, they had to include the factoid of, oh no, it's got to finish here in the ring. Well, now suspension of disbelief goes out the window. And I hope they never, ever do this again.
Suspension of disbelief went out the window for me when the lights came back on and Orton was in the ring. Are you telling me that Randy's second Uber driver is better than his first?
Definitely faster.
All right, we're giving this match far more time than it deserves after how much we've already talked about it. Best match.
Tag team title match for me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I agree. Tag team titles. And I think I'm going to include the aftermath of the tag team title match in my decision to give them the best match. As I said earlier, I feel like this is a refreshing that the Raw Tag Team Title Division could definitely use and to have a couple of credible heels at the top of the division beyond just Gallows and Anderson, who, let's be frankly honest here, have less than zero credibility left about them as a team at this point.
Yeah, so it's good to see that, you know, they're at least trying, although I don't like the fact that, I mean, Sheamus and Cesaro are kind of a fresh face team, you know, newer to that side of the docket. So for them to switch back again so quickly seems a little weird. But I'm not against it. I mean, this match was great, and if that means we get more matches from them in the future, okay. I'm not going to complain at all. So, you know, I'm happy with that.
I want to bring in our producer here real quick. Sean.
Yes, sir.
Did Raw get any tag teams in the Superstar Shakeup?
They got no, because yes, they did. Rhino and Heath Slater.
Oh okay. No. Well, I mean.
But I mean, they also got Revival and Hardys from outside the Shakeup. So.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
no.
Revival. The thing about Revival is it's easy to forget about them right now because they're on the shelf due to Scott Dawson's jaw injury, right?
Dash Wilder.
Dash Wilder.
I can't tell them apart.
Really?
How? They look nothing alike.
Yeah, seriously. They have different facial hair and everything.
I mean,
it's different color hair.
I can never tell the WWE random.
Well, one
generally.
Has hair and the other one doesn't, so.
It's more of the random name generator that I have an issue with.
I've gotten used to it by now, so it doesn't bother me.
Okay, with Ruby Riot, what the hell's your problem?
Thank you for the assistance, Mr. Producer.
Ruby Riot's way better than if they would have just used her regular name, so.
They can't purchase the copyright. You know this. We know
this. I know
this.
That, but Ruby Riott's awesome, so why not? They they can make that into like a superhero thing. All right, sorry.
For the third time, don't forget to listen to Sean, Paul, and Gary for the Wrestling for the Max review of WWE Payback 2017 coming to you tomorrow.
All right, before we get out of here and plug everything in the world, Gary, final score for tonight.
6, which is actually higher than I expected.
Wow, we have the same everything.
The disqualification finish leaves a bad taste in my mouth for the Cruiserweight title match. Nothing but bonus points for the tag team thing. The match itself was excellent. The post-match beatdown was excellent. I don't know that Alexa was ready to be Raw Women's Champion, but I'm willing to give it a chance and see where it goes. I still stand by the fact that the money feud for SummerSlam is Bayley and Sasha, so we'll see what happens there. The House of Horror match, the House of Horrors match, cost this show 2 points in and of itself. So you take that House of Horrors match off this show, you're looking at an 8. But overall, top to bottom, I'm going to go ahead and give Payback a 6.
See, I don't know that I would go with an 8 without it. If you don't understand, it's a pretty above-quality show to me. I know I've seen people complain about it, but you have to take the stigma of that match out. The problem is, it's a very tough stigma to try and take out because the House of Horrors match was god-awful. At least the first half of it was. It was stupid. The opener and Jericho kind of getting his revenge, I thought was great. You know, Payback actually lived up to it, and somebody actually got Payback. Actually, now that I think about it, Braun got Payback too.
So did Seth Rollins. He got a victory over Samoa Joe.
Wow. So they actually lived up to the pay-per-view's name. I'll be damned. Jericho proves yet again why he's one of the greatest of all time.
Not
his time. Alexa, maybe a little too early, you know, to be running the A show, technically. But you know, the whole stigma of someone can't win in their hometown kind of rears its ugly head here, so of course Alexa's going to win. Bayley could end up winning it back tomorrow, for all we know. They have a tendency to do this kind of thing.
This is very true. I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I did notice for tonight's women's title match? A significant lack of Sasha Banks. I think that comes into play tomorrow.
And there's a very significant lack of Nia Jax in there somewhere. Who knows?
I didn't.
There's definitely more up than down in terms of individual things. That one down, though. So yeah, I that stigma is too much to overcome. I can't go that high to where it would be an 8, but I'm still going with a 6 if you include the House of Horrors match. So, pretty good show, I would say, but, you know, don't ever do that again.
I will also give them credit in my rating as well for a very hot pre-show. I know you haven't had a chance to watch it yet, and I know your mileage may vary when it comes to The Miz because I know how you feel about him, but The interview segment that him and Balor had was actually really good. Although, to steal a line from our producer here, as you mentioned in our chat, the Wrestling a Rap chat, haven't they been teasing Bray Wyatt and Balor? And now we're going to Miz and Balor, but Miz and Amber? Oh my God, it's a 4-way.
Anyway.
Tonight's episode of WU Reacts has been brought to you by the Madhouse Toy Chest, stores.ebay.com/Madhouse Toy Chest. If you are a fan of anything wrestling, and even if you're not, you can find pretty much anything you can think of inside of the Madhouse Toy Chest, DVDs, action figures, VHS tapes, magazines, posters, horror collectibles, movies, Blu-rays, HD, DVD. I think you might have a couple of laser discs. I'm not sure. You might. You can find all that and more by going to stores.ebay.com/MadhouseToyChest. Mention you heard this advertisement here on Wrestling Unwrapped and receive a free gift with your purchase.
I saw a beta today.
A beta disc? Nice.
No, not disc.
Oh, beta max?
And your grandma still has a Betamax. That's hilarious.
The tape, not the player. I know she got rid of the player years ago, but she still had one of the beta tapes.
Color me disappointed that she doesn't still have the player.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
You can listen to myself tomorrow night, 11:30 p.m., Breaking Wrestling News Radio for the Raw Reaction. You can catch Patrick again live on WLGKRadio.com on Wednesday for Going Broadway.
And then you can catch us again next Sunday as we go back to regular review and stop talking about god-awful shows. Seriously, Spring Stampede 2000 killed me. And Wolves reviews the second ever Wrestling Revolver show, Iowa Goes Lucha, from last year in Clive, Iowa. And then in 2 weeks, we are back on with Atomic Championship Wrestling's Sleazy Christmas from last December, featuring the crowning of the first ever Rogue Dark Phase Women's Champion. And at that point, we also have a very special interview with the owner of ACW himself, having a heavyweight title match at their upcoming show, which will be the following Thursday after, or the following Saturday after our show, Take Hammer. So big things coming up for us. And then, of course, if you want to listen to Gary Paul and Sean and do their review of tonight's pay-per-view, be sure to check out W2Mnet.com for more information about that whenever it is made available. So,
real quick, one more plug before we get out of here. You can find myself and Patrick on Facebook by searching for Wrestling Unwrapped. You can interact with all of your favorite W2M personalities by joining the Wrestling to the Max group on Facebook.
All right, 96 plugs. Okay, I think we got them all. So, for Harry Brockers and for Sean Garmer, I'm Patrick Hetza. Well, we'll see you in this time slot 3 weeks from tonight for WWE Payback. But Wrestling Unwrapped, we'll see you again next Sunday. Did I say Payback again?
You did. Backlash.
Oh. We'll see you for Backlash. See you then, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.